Do you have your Bibles with you? We can turn to the book of Romans, chapter 10. Romans, chapter 10. And I'm going to read from verse 14 down to the end of the chapter. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. But not all the Israelites accepted the good news. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our message? Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. But I ask, did they not hear? Of course they did. Their voice has gone out through all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. Did Israel not understand? First, Moses says, I will make you envious by those who are not a nation. I will make you angry by a nation that has no understanding. And Isaiah boldly says, I was found by those who did not seek me. I revealed myself to those who did not ask for me. But concerning Israel, he says, all day long I have held out my hands to a disobedient and obstinate people. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And as we come now to look into the Bible, we pray that you'd give us understanding in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, that was a fun puppet song, wasn't it? Did you get it? There was a message, wasn't it? Yeah, that wasn't the message. Just because it's almost feeling like spring, it's not baseball season yet. That wasn't the message. The message was, let me play, coach. Put me in. Let me get on the field. Let's go. I'm ready to go. I'm suited up. I have my hat on. They gave me the words to the song so that I could refer to it, because I thought I could probably just read this and that would be my message this morning. They sang it. I'll read it. Well, praise the Lord. I'll raise my hand. I'm ready to serve today. I'm born again and I want to get on the field. Been on the bench for way too long. I want to get in the game. There's fire in my heart that's for real. Put me in, coach. I'm ready to play today. Put me in, coach. I'm ready to play. Well, I spent some time riding on the pine, which is the bench. Watching it from the bench. You know, I criticized when the other guy struck out, but the Holy Spirit is talking to me and he's changed my attitude because people are reachable. And we're going to talk about that today, the gospel outreach. Starting at verse 14. This part of the passage is often called a missionary passage because it says, how can they call on the one they haven't believed in? How can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone telling them, preaching to them? How can they preach unless they are sent? And we could have a missions conference around that paragraph right there, those few verses. But I'd like for us to think about how the gospel is spread. What do we do when we say, God, put me in the field? What are we thinking of in sharing the gospel, sharing the good news about Jesus, that he died on the cross and we're saved from our sin? The guilt is gone when we put our trust in him. So how is the good news to be spread? People are God's instruments to reach people with the gospel. It's people to people, person to person. And so we can be thinking, God can use me too. God can use anyone as his agent to spread the good news of Jesus. Anyone God can use. Let's start at the bottom. The bottom tier of the people God can use. In Mark chapter 5, there was a man that was filled with demons. When Jesus He ran up to Jesus, and when Jesus talked to him, the demons identified themselves. They said, "We are legion. There are so many of us that are working in this guy's life. He has so much power, chains couldn't hold him. So much power, ropes couldn't hold him. He could not be subdued by any people. He was crazy." Jesus cast the demons out of the man, and they asked permission of Jesus to go into a herd of pigs, have a body to inhabit. And Jesus said, "Go." And those pigs ran down and fell into the sea and drowned. You would think that people would be excited. When they came, the crowds came to approach Jesus. They were all upset about losing this herd of sheep. But they saw that demon-possessed man now free. And he was sitting with Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And those people said to Jesus, "Get out of here. We don't want you." But the man who was freed of those demons, as Jesus was getting in the boat, the man came up to him and said, "I want to go with you. I want to follow you." We're starting with this bottom tier, the foundational one, because Jesus said, "No, you can't come with me. But you go home and you tell your family, you tell your friends the great things the Lord has done for you." What was he told to do? Share the good news about Jesus. Jesus has power over nature. Jesus has power over Satan, demonic activity. And Jesus told him, "No, you go and you tell people what the Lord has done for you." There's another person I'd like to refer to. He wasn't an apostle. Sometimes we think people have to be have a leadership office or something in order to share the gospel. But there was a man by the name of Epaphras. I'm sure you would suggest that grandkids are named Epaphras. Call him Ep for short, or Fras. But you'd read about his story, and that probably, it doesn't actually say this, but we can assume that when the Apostle Paul held his Bible school class in the city of Corinth over in Greece, and he held his class for a year and a half, Epaphras was probably there. We can put the different parts of the Bible together and get that information. But Epaphras went to his hometown, Colossae. And he shared the good news, and after a while, there was a church. People believed in the Lord Jesus, and a church was built in Colossae. It was established in Colossae. And today, that multiplication of reaching out to people, even among the Jewish people who Sunday after Sunday, we mentioned that as a nation, the Jews have rejected Jesus. As a nation, there's individual Jewish people who have received Christ. Ryan Karp, that we give toward his support to be a missionary to Jews, himself Jewish, is in, now I can't think of the place, Boston? Chicago. I knew it was one of those cities out there. But, but he's a missionary to the Jews. We have Jews for Jesus organization, the chosen people that Ryan belongs to. And a lot of people to reach. But when we read in the Bible, in the book of Acts, we find that God wasn't picky about those he sends out to tell people about the Lord Jesus. A great persecution broke out in Jerusalem. The church started in Jerusalem. The believers gathered together in Jerusalem, and they were staying put. They were being taught by the apostles. What better teachers back then than the apostles themselves? But one of the leaders in the church by the name of Stephen was stoned. The Jewish leaders put him on trial, and without really a trial, they had the people stone him. And so Stephen was the first martyr in the Christian church. But then in chapter 8 it says, on that day a great persecution broke out against the church at Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. What happened? The persecution moved Christians out of their comfort zones to spread the gospel. And verse 4 says, those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Well, God has a way of getting the word out. And sometimes, like this, take us out of our comfort zone in order for us to share the good news about Jesus. When we read in Romans chapter 10, though, there's a but, verse 16, but not all the Israelites accepted the good news. The Jews' unbelief has gone on since 700 BC. That's a long time. That the Jews as a nation, even before Jesus' time, didn't really trust God. As a nation, they kept turning to idols. They kept saying, no, God, I got this other way. You know, my neighbors worship Baal, and they had a really good wheat crop this year. So I think I'll worship Baal too. Maybe my crops will get. And instead of trusting God, they trusted idols, things made of stone and wood and man-made. So we realize that people have just not been trusting God for a long time, even the chosen people. So Romans chapter 3 and verse 3 in this book asks the question, will their lack of faith nullify God's faithfulness? And the answer is no. What if some did not have faith? Will their lack of faith nullify God's promise? No, but unbelief of others doesn't absolve Christians from their responsibility to witness. Because people will not believe, some people will not believe, it doesn't mean give up. It's no use. No, it doesn't mean that. What has God done? He's given us his word. And so in verse 17, says faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. Sometimes you and I have times when our faith isn't the greatest either. What do we do when we have I don't know. Things just don't seem to be going right. Is God really for me, or is he pushing against me? Where do we go? There have been people that have talked to me about their problems, and I can't solve them. So where can I turn them in order to get emotional, psychological, spiritual help? To the Bible. Thank you, Cindy. That was a reminder. She held her Bible up for me. Turn them to the Bible. People that seem to be chronically depressed, where can we turn them? To the Scriptures, but a place in particular that I go, and I found it for me, and that's why I pass it on. Period of time that I was just at rock bottom, and seeking God, I went to the book of Psalms. Just remember that. If we are feeling low, and I was reading a newsletter from a well-known pastor in New York that he said, I didn't believe that Christian people should ever be depressed. And when he wrote that letter, he said, I have been in a blue funk for 3 months. Okay, this guy that said Christians shouldn't be depressed was hitting bottom. Okay, what do you do? It can happen to any of us. It can be a chemical change in our bodies. It can be situations on the outside that are affecting us. It can be our own imagination rolling things around over and over. But we hit bottom, and what do we do? What I did, and what I've passed on, and the report has been good coming back, is go to the book of Psalms and read it. Not, okay, today is the first of the month, I'm going to read Psalm 1. No. You read Psalm 1, 2, 3, 4. You read sections of the Psalms. And you say, God, I need you to get involved in my life somewhere here. I need some picking up. And reading the Psalms has lifted my, you know, it had to do with another person a long time ago. And I've told this to the men's group, so it might be repetitious there. But when I was reading the Psalms, I was angry. And when I came to a psalm that says that the Lord would break their teeth and hit them in the jaw, I said, go for it. Man, do that. Just get them good. I want to see some action here. And my heart was hard, and my spirit was just fried to a crisp. But I was reading the Psalms, and when God had David write those imprecatory psalms and get vengeance, God, I was all for it. And then reading one day, I was reading at night, I was working during the day, but reading at night, one evening I read a psalm, I don't even remember which one, but it was like, oh, he's talking about me in here too, not just the other guy. And it broke my heart. And then I started to mend. After God did that, then reading the Psalms started mending my heart. You see, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And we need our faith built up. And there are times all of us do. But faith is going to be planted in the heart of someone else as we share the gospel with them. That's something that we don't see. We never know until they tell us. But, you know, you gave me that tract the other day, a little pamphlet. I stuck it in my pocket, and I read it later. God touched my heart. Wow! I didn't know that. It wasn't something I said. God worked. And faith that someone else gains comes by their hearing the message. Whether it's in a book, a pamphlet, it's your words sharing the gospel, the good news. Well, apparently, as we read this passage, I'm sorry, I thought the... Okay. Apparently, the Jews and Gentiles did not have ears to hear. Verse 18 says, but I ask, there's questions all through this passage, but I ask, did they not hear? Of course they did. The voice of God's word, God's communication with people has gone out to the ends of the world. And Moses said it, God has said it. He refers first of all to creation, that creation can draw people to the Lord. But what explains creation for a lot of people today? What do they turn to? How did the moon get to where it is? What have you guys heard? How did the moon get there? It fell out of the earth, didn't it? They said it's a piece of the earth. You know, there's an ocean there now. And the moon got up there in the sky. There's all sorts of theories that people can be taught. The theory of evolution. Theory. but it answers a way that turns people away from the truth of the scriptures. And so the Bible says that word has gone out even through the whole world, through creation. But Israel thought they understood what God wanted because they had his law. They had the word that God gave to Moses, and they had rituals to observe. They had the sacrifices. They had the words, the Ten Commandments, and they felt that they had it. But Moses said, and Moses lived how long ago? Even before Isaiah, 700 years ago, Moses was around 1500 BC. That God would make you envious by those who are not a nation. He would make the Jews envious. And so when God went out to the Gentiles, it was in order for the Jews to say something about it. The Gentiles responded to the message of Christ. There was a lady that Jesus met at a well, a Samaritan woman. She believed him. Transworld Radio reaches millions across the Eastern world. Sunset Solutions, the Jeff and Jackie Benedict missionaries that we support, give toward their support. And Scott and Gail are checking it out this week or last week. But they provide materials to build radio stations, and they work on the well water in different nations in Africa and Middle East, around the world. But the Jews swallowed a lie. The Gentiles responded to the message of Christ. The Jews swallowed a lie. What were they told? And they believed it. His disciples came and stole the body, the soldiers said, while we were asleep. Now, the Bible doesn't carry on with that story. I'd like to hear, what happened to those soldiers? Because the Jewish priests said, we'll stand up for you. I wonder if they would take the place of the soldiers when Pilate said, okay, off with their heads. Because if you were a soldier on guard and you fell asleep, you did not live. You didn't live to see the next day. And here there were soldiers guarding Jesus' tomb, and they told the story. The disciples stole the body while we were asleep. And Jews to this day will refer to that story. Can you believe it? Well, this passage ends up at verse 21. Concerning Israel, the prophet says, all day long I've held out my hands to a disobedient, obstinate people. Not everyone's going to respond. But the spiritual journey, I want to catch this, just take a couple minutes, okay? The spiritual journeys of people develop at different rates. Some hear and believe and grow into mature Christians quite quickly. There was an Ethiopian eunuch, a man that served in the Queen of Ethiopia's court as a treasurer, and Philip, a Christian, came up to his chariot as he was riding along, and the Ethiopian said, who's this talking about? Is he writing about himself or someone else? And Philip told him about Jesus, and he believed. He was baptized and went on his way, but Philip disappeared. Who followed up with this guy? But it's put to his account that the church was started in Africa. Some are slow to hear. He was quick to hear. Some are slow to hear. Although it's been around people for years and years. There was a lady that we called Grandma Warnock. And she'd come to church. We met in the American Legion Hall and set up chairs. And so it wasn't a very big church. Very big group, but she always sat in the very last row, and she would come to church, but she would bring her knitting, and she'd sit back there, click, 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 and she would knit. And she, anytime anyone talked to her about receiving Jesus as your personal Savior, she'd just brush it off. Until one day her grandson spoke to her and sat down with Grandma Warnock and told her about Jesus. She finally had ears to hear it. She wasn't hearing what the message was. She was slow to hear. But she heard it and received Christ when her grandson told her. But not everyone responded to the gospel when Paul preached it either. He was in Corinth for a year and a half. And when he first preached, there were those that were saved. But God told him, stay there. Don't be afraid. Don't leave too soon. Stay there because I still have more for you to reach. So I have four things that I'd like to pass on to you, and I wrote it clear out, so if you want to cut it out of your notes and stick it in your Bible or put it someplace where you review it a little bit. Some people that we might talk to are desperate for love. They really want to know that God loves them, and they feel like they are unloved. When we run across people like that, I just put key verses here. But John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son that whoever believes in him will not perish. Perishes go to hell. Will not perish, but have everlasting life, eternal life instead of eternal condemnation. Tell people about God's love. Tell people about God's judgment. Some are saying, it's no big deal. I'll handle it when I get there. Kind of like a farmer. It'll be better next year. We'll get through this tough time. We'll handle it when we get there. But Hebrews 9:27 says that it's appointed unto man, unto people, to die once. And after that is the judgment. You don't get a second time around. It's appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. Ask people about their spiritual journey. Where are you at? You might talk to anybody. And it's sure nice weather, isn't it? Yeah, there are still people going south for the winter, taking a trip. You planning a trip? Oh, not me. I'm staying put. Well, you're on a trip. What's your destination? Where are you headed with your life? Well, when we can talk to them about their spiritual journey, you can know for sure that you're going to heaven as your final destination. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And when you put your faith in Christ, he is the way. You have someone to usher you home. He's telling you the truth. You don't have to search and search for comparative religions or anything. And he is life. And that life is eternal life. But also, impress people with the urgency that they're facing an imminent death. Everyone dies. We don't know if we're going to finish today, do we? Can't say for certain. I only have a few yards home. But we don't know. Some people are traveling now, hundreds of miles. They have a destination, they think. They don't know. The imminency of death. James chapter 4 and verse 14. It asks the question, what is your life? And the answer is, it's just a vapor. It's just a mist that appears for a little while and then is gone. I would suggest that we learn these. Have a key that we might invite people to know Jesus through conversation. People who are without the Lord know what fear is. They know how it feels to live without peace, to be uncertain about their final destiny. And so many people are just hoping everything will turn out okay. So the loving Christian witness is not bullying, it's not obnoxious, and it's not threatening. The true Christian witness will be winsome. Speak to people as their friend. So do a lot of listening and share Christ. Let's pray. Father, I thank you. You give us the words to say at the appropriate time, but we can know your word and be able to share that. I pray those that are without peace would find peace in Jesus. Pray those that are without hope, that you would be their hope. They would put their trust in you, be able to look ahead and say for certain, heaven's my destiny. Father, I thank you that you loved us and you gave your son for us. This is how we know what love is, that Jesus laid down his life for us. I pray that we would go with your blessing upon us. In Jesus' name.